Today, Jesus seems to be in quite the quandary. The Pharisees and the Herodians have conspired together to lay a trap for him. And what's remarkable about this is that the Pharisees and the Herodians were natural enemies. They agreed on pretty much nothing. The Pharisees hated the fact that Rome was occupying Israel, and they wanted to get rid of the Romans, and they had a very strict understanding of what the Mosaic Law was that they thought everyone had to follow. Whereas the Herodians not only accepted the Roman occupation, they even encouraged it politically, and they had a much more lax view of the Mosaic Law. So the Pharisees and the Herodians pretty much never agreed with each other about anything. And yet, their hatred of Jesus is so strong that they overcome their differences to try to trip him up. So they come with him asking a question about paying Roman taxes. Should Jews pay the taxes to Rome? And the reason this is a trap is because if Jesus says yes, Jews should pay taxes, then the Pharisees are going to denounce him to the people as sympathizing with foreign occupiers, and Jesus will lose the respect of the people he's trying to reach. But if Jesus says, no, Jews shouldn't pay taxes, then the Herodians are going to report him to the Roman authorities, at which point he will be arrested and killed as inciting a rebellion over taxes. The Romans did not mess around about taxes. And so what Jesus does is he doesn't take the bait. Instead, he lays a trap of his own for his enemies. And he does that by asking for a coin that would be used to pay the tax. And this is a Roman coin, which has a picture of Tiberius Caesar on it, who was the current Roman emperor. And then on either side, there'd be two inscriptions. One would read, Son of the Divine Augustus, and the other would read, High Priest, which means that the coin itself was idolatrous because it proclaimed a creature, the emperor, to be divine. And as something idolatrous, no Pharisee should even touch one of these coins, let alone have one on them. And yet they do. They present it. And so Jesus reveals that the Pharisees are hypocrites. They haven't come to him seeking the truth. They've come out of malice and ill will just to ruin what he has going. And then, after Jesus has revealed their hypocrisy, he finally answers the question, but not in a direct way. He says, repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. And this answer isn't really about taxes. It's pointing to a much bigger truth, which is that we are gods. We can compare the coin and ourselves. The coin was created by Caesar. We are created by God. The coin has Caesar's image on it. We contain God's image within us. The coin is demanded by Caesar in the form of taxes. We are demanded by God in the form of worship and adoration. The first commandment tells us, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Because not only has God made us and created us, he has also chosen us to be his. He has called us to him, even though we did not know him. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah tells us, I have called you by your name, giving you a title, though you knew me not. And what does it mean to be chosen or to be called by God? Well, it means primarily being adopted as his daughters and sons, and then through that adoption, receiving the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, charity being the highest form of love. And these three virtues are the foundation of any Christian life and any Christian society, which is why St. Paul praises the Thessalonians so highly, because he sees their work of faith and labor of love and endurance and hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith, hope, and charity. Now, I could easily give a 10 to 15 minute long homily on each of these three virtues, but I think you would all probably get tired of that, and I would get tired of hearing myself. So instead, I'm going to talk about faith today. And the most important thing for us to remember about faith is that it is something that we receive as a gift. It's truths that are revealed by God, which we then accept and say yes to. In our current era, there's a particular danger of faith becoming something that we create instead of something we receive, where instead of receiving truth, we begin to decide what's true on our own and construct our own system of belief. And this is a process that really took off with the Protestants, where we had one Catholic faith, and then some people decided they didn't like certain teachings. So now there were two faiths, and then there were other teachings they didn't like, and then there was four faiths and eight faiths, and so on. The process of division is still occurring. Today we have thousands of different Christian denominations. And the reason this is so dangerous is because faith is meant to bring us into contact with truth, with God, who is greater than us. He's beyond us. And so that's why he has to reveal the truth to us. If we construct our own truth, we cut ourselves off from God, and instead we just have ourselves, in a sense. This is a danger that Pope Benedict was very aware of, and he talked about, he named it the dictatorship of relativism. He said, "We are building a dictatorship of relativism that does not recognize anything as definitive, and whose ultimate goal consists solely of one's own ego and desires." Relativism is a poison which cuts us off from God. And the antidote is to recognize with humility that not only do we not know everything, but we are incapable of knowing everything. The faith has been handed down to us through millennia, safeguarded by the church by each generation. And there may be things in the faith that we don't understand, or there may be things in the faith that, quite frankly, we don't like. But that doesn't make those things not true. I know lots of people that don't like algebra and they don't understand algebra, but they would never claim that because of that, algebra is false. They recognize that there's just something they can't get their heads around. The same is true with faith. God has revealed truth to us, and he has a right to our belief. Not only did he make our intellects and our wills, but he also made them with a purpose. And that purpose is to say yes to him. The Catechism in paragraph 143 says that by faith, man completely submits his intellect and his will to God. With his whole being, man gives his assent to God, the revealer. When we say yes to the faith, what we're doing is we're saying, I trust God, and I trust the church that he has established, and I trust them so much that I am willing to put aside my own biases and my own preconceptions in favor of the things he tells me. In other words, I am willing to repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God.